Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from The Scarlet Threads, Part 5, and it looks like we've got only two or three more sessions with Part 5, and we'll be done with the historical part of Scarlet Threads. But I want to do a couple other things as we move on. Let's talk about the last popes. At the end of the Old Testament is Malachi. Well, in these last days, and this is back in the 1990s, understand, when I wrote this to begin with, in these last days of the Roman Church, there is Malachi Martin, an aggressive prophet, as it were, to the Catholic people, a former Jesuit professor, one who served with John the 23rd, that's, as you know, Vatican II, comments from his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Church, are revealing. Though I am told that Martin needs to be listened to with discernment. And speaking of the lessening Roman Catholic membership in these days, he says, quote, "There appears to be no reasonable hope that this decline can be arrested. What form Roman Catholicism will take, its religious spirit and faith will not die, nor a successor to St. Peter's throne ever lack someone." Well, that's one of the tantalizing enigmas that we moderns will not live to see solved. Well, perhaps he didn't. I'm still here. I don't know, Malachi. Keep your eyes open. The keys to the mystery are everywhere. In speaking of John 23rd, he says that his appeal was universal. He wanted contacts with all men. He believed that people intuitively eventually do the right thing. I don't know. He later came to reject the idea of a personal devil, that's John 23rd, an original sin. That was the father of Vatican II, coming away from some of the most important doctrines of the faith. Malachi relates that John's successor, Paul VI, talked about the people of God, not the kingdom idea, which so threatened people, and rightly so, who knew about Rome's evil history. Now, we believe in a kingdom, but we don't believe it's going to be centered in Rome. This same Paul, Malachi Martin says, was used by leftist powers in Latin countries and seemed to be unable to rein in his bishops that were quite Marxist-leaning. That's a trend that has continued. He implies that Paul did not do much in the way of protesting unnatural persecution of believers in communist countries. And so the next pope, he says, was determined to restore the old ways of Rome. And this is quoting from him, "By any measures at our disposal, the influences of this pope and his Vatican exceeds that of most middle-class powers in the world today, like France and Germany, and it modifies and sometimes offsets, even upsets, the policies and influences of the two superpowers. Even the Communist Politburo in Peking, China, is beginning to feel his influence and the need to be in contact with him." That would be Pope John Paul II. Malachi also talks about one who finally will dominate, the ultimate dictator, the man of destiny. This man seems to know a lot of important things. I'm not sure that a Roman pope will be the Antichrist. He is not either, but he does seem to think that something is going the wrong way. Now, this is 30 years ago, and he was right. John Paul II, seemingly a good man and doing some good things, was going the wrong way then, and his successors have continued that trend. Well, is Rome declining? Yeah, quite possible it was then. It seems as though Satan, since Vatican II, has been regrouping, backing off a while. In the formation process, though, is a greater than ever world religion, still based in Rome, still identifiable as Babylon the Great, in my opinion. I believe the unchanging church will continue to evolve. Notice the contradiction of terms there, unchanging but evolving, adding elements that will at once disgust believers and amaze the world, but the world will buy those elements. Add to all of this rising Europe, and you can begin to see the awesome spectacle viewed by John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos. We're about to see it in our own day. The history of Babylon, though sketchy, is mostly before you. But I would be amiss to leave out some recent elements. Now, that was recent in the 1990s, forgive me. Things, though, which show the fruit of Vatican II in scarier terms. The post-Vatican II world of Babylon is becoming quite confusing. Within Rome are a myriad of confused voices. Perhaps this is a good time to conclude the Mary thread by turning to Ken Samples that we talked about a long time ago and telling with him the story of Medjugorje. Now, Medjugorje is a small town in what used to be Yugoslavia, where a record-setting series of apparitions were occurring, or so it was reported. The story begins in 1981, when once again, young people who have no particular longing for God, who in fact are out on a hillside smoking, having a smoke, suddenly encounter a presence. Now, why has she come, this ghostly but real, quote, Blessed Virgin Mary, end of quote? She says, "I wish to be with you to convert and to reconcile the whole world," end of quote. That's a pretty big order. She says some traditional Catholic prayers with them and leaves them with the admonition to find peace with God and promote peace among men. Well, right away we know something is wrong, as God's peace is only promised for his own. For the rest is promised a sword and eventual judgment. But the visions continue. And the communist government then ruling the land, Yugoslavia, reminds the would-be vision seers that religious services are not allowed outside. The communists needed to control religion in their regime, so they said, you've got to be in a building if you want to have a service. Seems that Mary should have known that from the beginning, quote-unquote Mary. But she and they all comply, and the meeting is taken indoors. Oh, okay. Over the weeks and months, the children are visited by not only Mary, but, quote, various angels, Jesus, the devil, and certain relatives who have died, end of quote. Well, they've also seen heaven, purgatory, hell. By the early 90s, 2,500 appearances have been reported, carrying over 1,000 messages. But we've got some problems here. Number one, only the young people see the visions. The proof of their veracity is said to be the accompanying miracles and changed lives. People do clean up their act when they're close to the next world like that. Number two, quote, Mary, unquote, it commands things that Jesus never commanded. For example, the rosary is to be prayed. Number three, in the problem area, many claim to have witnessed the accompanying miracle of the sun. But frequently, those looking at the sun for such a miracle are gifted instead with serious eye damage. Number four, even Rome will not say the visions are of God, but neither does she deny access to the site. Problem five, the Roman bishop located in the area claims that the children have been caught in pure fabrications. They're liars. When they were cross-examined about these miracles. So that bishop is caught up in a struggle with other bishops and the local Franciscans who swear that these miracles are real. Sounds like stuff that we have to deal with in the charismatic thing, right? And by the way, you see the connection and the way you can merge charismania with what's going on in Rome? You see how Rome is willing to accept us, those who were in the charismatic thing, and blend it all together? Problem number six, speaking of those fabrications, lies. At first, the visionaries reported that Mary was to appear three more times. Well, this obviously changed. First, there were five secrets. Now, there are 10 secrets. Number seven, we have a doctrinal problem. The woman of Yugoslavia is now stating categorically that all religions are good before God. End of quote on that one. Problem eight. In Deuteronomy 18, God condemns necromancy, the contacting of dead people. Say what you want, but Mary is dead. In Yugoslavia, a dead mother appears to one of the children. Not just Mary, but another mother now. A dead mother, one who has already died, supposedly appears to one of the children, and they're talking, and God condemns all of that. Number nine, horror of horrors for the Vatican. This Mary has come against their list of banned books. 1947, Maria Valtorta published a book called Poem of the God-Man, a supposed special revelation about the life of Jesus, which by Catholic or Protestant standards was bad theology, bad history, and so on. Well, unknown to the vision worshipers, Pope John XXIII, in 1959, placed that book on the Vatican Index of Forbidden Books. No Catholic is to read it, period! Exclamation mark. But one of the special young people, Vika, says to Ken Samples in an interview, Maresia asked the Virgin about that book, and the Virgin said that she should read that book because it's like a poem between God and man. Pope says, no way. Mary says, it's okay. As I was saying, within Rome, there's a myriad of confused voices. But they unite at least in submitting to the Pope's authority. The rest is negotiable. Outside Rome, there are still many voices which must be harmonized and caused to sing somehow in unison with the eternal city. You see, the woman on the beast is a whore, and she must have relationships with all who become in any way powerful on earth. Those who wield such power include well-known religious figures, even those we number among the redeemed. And I think I will stop right there, because it's a totally different subject and we've just about run out of time. So thank you for being here again. It's important things that we are studying. As I stop right there and look at the pages ahead of us, I'm thinking we may need another two or three sessions to finish section five. See, I'm entering into confusion, too, about how many sessions we have. I guess this thing's having an effect on me. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. Come back. Let's finish these lessons together. And God bless you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. And Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.